Hey everybody, it's the 2nd of October 2015. This is me, your host Sami Shah, right here behind the microphone and behind the steering wheel, and you're listening to Sami Says. It is a wonderful evening as I drive from Northam to Perth to do a show as per usual. Although that might be the same for very much longer, that might change. To our new listeners today, hello, hi, welcome on board. A bunch of people listening in from London, or the United Kingdom anyway, according to my RSS subscription data that, my podcast hosting service provides me with. Mostly because the A Beginner's Guide to Pakistan debuted on BBC Radio 4 yesterday, or the day before yesterday, was it now? Day before yesterday night. And the reaction was quite beyond anything I could have imagined. And so, yeah, a bunch of you subscribed. Hello, hi, nice to meet you. My name is Sami. What's yours? That's great. Let me tell you a bit about myself, I guess, for the regular listeners. I'm sorry, just suffer through like 30 seconds of me just, you know, being completely self-aggrandizing and self-referential, I guess, and then we can get back to the usual nonsense. My name is Sami Shah. I am a stand-up comedian from Pakistan, or Karachi, Pakistan, which is where I started off my life and my career, and then I moved to Australia 3.5 years ago. I ended up living not in Perth or Melbourne or any of the big cities that I wanted to, but in a small country town named Northam, population 7,000. Although I think now it's around like 5,500 or 7,000 when I moved there. Although I take no personal responsibility for the like 2,500 that disappeared. 1,500, my math is bad. And so I live in a small country town. It's an hour and 40 minutes away from Perth. And every day I drive down to Perth from Northam to do to do stand-up comedy gigs in comedy clubs across Western Australia, which is where I am. So I drive on a country road. It's a wide open road, with not the kind of bushland that you visualize when you visualize Australian countrysides. This is actually far more bucolic. It's green, it's lush, it's called the wheat belt, the area. And so I drive along these winding serpentine roads, highways, all the way down to Perth doing the show. And so I record a podcast once a week on that drive, just because it keeps me from getting too bored, I suppose. That's one of the reasons. And mainly because I think at this point my narcissism and ego has reached such stratospheric levels that, you know, a half-hour podcast of just me talking about myself seems like just a natural way for things to go. You can find out more about me at www.samisha.com, like my autobiography, which is available at all bookstores in America, UK, and Australia right now. It's called I Migrant, and it's a multi-award nominated. Didn't win any, but it did get fucking nominated. And it's a good book. I wouldn't lie to you about that. Is the rattling bothering anyone? Sorry, that's the Red Bull can that I consumed on the drive, when I began the drive, and I just realized it's probably rattling in the background there. I moved it. I record this entire thing while just driving on the highway. And the good part is that it doesn't require any concentration. As such, I can kind of just drive easily with no traffic on the highway and not worry about, you know, dying. Although there have been a few deaths on the Great Eastern Highway, which is the road I take, in the last few days. Someone was doing 180 kilometers a few days ago and went straight into a tree. And that was a mess, I'm sure. But yeah, not me so far. I did dodge a kangaroo one time, but we're all sick of that story. So, welcome on board. Thank you for listening. The BBC Radio 4 thing was, from all measures and all the response I've gotten, success, which I'm so grateful for. I cannot begin to tell you how awesome that is. For those of you who don't know, I did Ed Morrish, a producer of the BBC, commissioned me to do a thing called an entire history of Pakistan, the entire history of the country, but do it as a kind of comedy while keeping it factually accurate. And the entire thing we wrote it over a year ago. About a year ago we wrote it, and then we recorded it in London, or in Birmingham we recorded it a few months back when I went to do that, and then recorded an episode of QI and a whole bunch of other, and a Soho Theatre runner shows, and then and it just aired. So it aired on BBC Radio 4. My Twitter went insane, which was fantastic. Which is really cool, because actually it aired at 6:30 p.m. UK time, which was, I think, 1:30 in the morning in Northam, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay awake. Normally, I have an insomnia problem, which then makes me stay awake 3, 4 in the morning. But that's always because I have a comedy gig that I'm coming back from, right? So what happens is I'll drive the hour and 40 minutes down to Perth. I'll do the comedy shows. The comedy shows will end at around 10:30. And then I'll go out for dinner with the comedians, usually, 2, 3 others and I. We'll go grab food. I get done. They all go home. Their homes are 5 minutes away. I then get on the highway and I drive back home. By the time I get home, it's usually 12:30, 1 in the morning. And the drive is exhausting, but my mind, because I've been focused so much on staying awake during the drive, my mind is abuzz or alight. And so I just don't go to sleep for a much longer time after that. I'm awake till 3:30 in the morning, usually on most nights. But this was the one night when I didn't have any gigs, I had nothing to do, and I actually got bored. And by 1:30 in the morning, I was like, I'm done, fuck this, I'm out of here. I went to sleep, so I didn't actually get to listen to it as it aired. But I mean, I've heard it many times already. And then I woke up at, I think, 6:30, 7 in the morning to a flurry or a flood or a tsunami or whatever descriptive you would like of emails and tweets and Facebook messages, and everyone seemed to have enjoyed it. So that's pretty cool. That was part one. Part two comes out in a few more days. I think 5 days left for part two. It's just a two-parter. Part one is the political history of Pakistan, which is obviously more violent and more glamorous and a lot more, stuff to pay attention to. It's more sex and violence. It's the HBO stuff. And then part two is the more PBS kind of, the socio-cultural history of Pakistan, which to me is the part I am more proud of. I'm prouder of that script and what I pulled off in that, because that was a far more difficult script to, structure thematically. But I've already bored you by just saying this much, so I really hope you guys don't find the episode boring. That happened, that aired. That was the last day or two, is dealing with the response from that and all the emails and everything I've been getting from that. And then today I am now driving down to Perth for my two gigs. It's an evening, it's an overcast sky. Summer is here, summer is definitely here. It was hot as a motherfucker during the day. But now it's cooled down just enough that I think mainly because it's cloudy, that the skin isn't broiling off my bones. Which is always something to be grateful for when summer starts in Australia. The shows I'm going to do, one of them is at His Majesty's Theatre, which is a theatre. It's the largest theatre in Perth, and it's the grandest theatre in Perth. And obviously, it's called His Majesty's Theatre because it's dedicated to Prince Philip or whoever, some British royalty. Because if there's one thing Western Australia cannot get over, is the fact that at one point someone British passed by here and they have fetishized that shit to a point of embarrassment. My favorite moment was when I was in the green room for QI, and I was talking to a bunch of people there, and all Britishers obviously, and they asked me, they're like, how are you finding Australia? And I said, well, to be honest, it was nice, and then Tony Abbott won, and since then it's been a bit miserable. And one British guy said, who's Tony Abbott? And I couldn't help myself. I said, oh, this will break his fucking heart, because there's one thing that man does, and what most of Australia does, is it thinks that Mother England loves it, even though Mother England couldn't give two fucks about it, which I always find quite entertaining. I'm saying a lot right now. But yeah, that's the show that is going down. It's basically a fundraiser for charity or heart disease or something that I should have looked up earlier. I'm donating my time. I don't need to know what it's for. And I'm going down there, and it's a beautiful theater. It's like, I think 3,000 people will be there, and it'll be packed out completely. And I'm performing with a bunch of great acts. One of them is Joel Creasy, who is a Perth act and a major celebrity now. He did that show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Which more power to him. They offered it to me. I decided I had dignity, so I couldn't do it. But, whatever. I'm being an asshole. Look, man, it's a hard business. You got to do what you can to get attention. And for some people, getting attention is more important than doing something quality, I guess. I'm still being an asshole. The other people on the thing, though, there's Janelle Koenig, who's fucking awesome, who is one of my favorite people on the planet. She's a Perth comedian. Who's a brilliant writer as well. She really writes good, solid comedy. She's a great comedy writer. If I ever get a project in which I have to write, especially about the parental experience, she's the person I'm going to turn to, because no one punches up a joke like Janelle Koenig. And then there is Ivan Aristegueta, who is one of my favorite people on the planet right now. Ivan is a comedian from Adelaide, but originally from Caracas in Venezuela. He moved to Australia the same time I did, on the same visa I did, had the same problems I've had, and has resulted in the same lifestyle choices that I have had. And so, yeah, he and I really get along great, and it's always a pleasure to perform with him. And then there's yours truly, Sami Shah. And so, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then as soon as everyone else is going to stick around, because it's a long show, I'm the first act up. I'll do 15 minutes, and then I'm going to run across to Lazy Susan's, which is the other comedy club, which is a comedy club in Perth, and one of my favorite ones. And I'm doing a headline spot there. So I should, if I get there before 9 o'clock, I should be fine to jump up and do a 45-minute spot there. And then obviously there'll be the late-night dinner, and then there'll be the long, lonely drive home as I listen to a podcast and music and so on and so forth. So yeah, that's been what I've been up to for the last few days. And what I'm hoping to get up to today. It's been fairly quiet, actually. It's mainly because my daughter, Anya, she's 6 years old, and she's off from school right now. School holidays in Australia, so she's at home. So I spend most of the day just entertaining her, playing with her, stuff like that. And then the evenings are, you know, I'll drive down for a gig, or if there's no gig, I'll just basically, you know, I really fucking slacked off, man. The last week or so, that's one thing that I'm really pissed at myself about. I think it's been a week and a half now. I haven't written anything. I had a column due, and I wrote it, I think, half an hour before the deadline, because I knew I could quickly bang out 600 readable words. It wasn't very good, but I sent it across. And that's it. That's all I've done. Every day I sit down, I open the computer, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'd rather watch something. And I'm watching shitty movies. I'm not watching shitty movies. I'm watching good movies, but I'm watching old movies that I've seen 1,000 times before. I just went on a John Cusack kick for some unknown reason, and I watched, like, Say Anything, Gross Point Blank, and High Fidelity. All three movies that I absolutely adore. And then, just random. And I sit there practicing the guitar, which I'm still trying to become good at. And that's going to be a lifelong project, quite clearly. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not even working out, which is bad because I'm eating like a pig these. I'm eating like an asshole these days. And I think, you know what it is? I quit cigarettes like a year and a half ago now. A year and 2 months ago. I smoked a pack a day for 20 years. And then I quit. And in the last year, my taste buds have kind of revitalized and got energized and kind of, you know, other eyes have happened to them. And they have really, really changed my life, because they force me into eating all kinds of things that I don't necessarily need. I'm not even particularly hungry, but now I get hungry a lot because my body's used to shoving more shit in its mouth, and I eat all the time. And that's why I started working out. That's why I started doing the whole Sean T Insanity DVD video set, which is basically this guy who, you know, surrounded by the most amazingly good-looking people with amazing bodies. And they do this, you know, high-energy, high-impact cardio workout thing at home, and you can kind of just put on the DVD and bounce in front of it and jump in front of it and do all the things, and then when you wake up on the carpet, you know, barely coherent and having lost consciousness, then you can go back and finish the DVD every day. And it takes me 45 minutes, and it's a fucking brutal 45 minutes for an out of shape asshole like me, but, you know, made a lot of difference. I lost a lot of weight in the last few weeks, in the last few months in fact, and my pants fit better, and I've been happier. And because the moment I realized, oh yeah, my pants fit better and I'm looking better now, I start slacking off. Because I'm like, oh, my work here is done. I have a great ass these days, so fuck it. I look great. And that's it. That's all I'm doing. And so I stop. Every day I start the Sean T thing, and I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. And so I haven't done it in a week. Every day I have loaded up the DVD and just gone, I'll do it tomorrow. And for 1 week I haven't done that. And for 1 week I've gone back on a sandwich kick. Which is, I don't make sandwiches, okay? I make works of fucking art when it comes to sandwiches. I do all the cooking at home anyway, and I'm a goddamn good cook. But when it comes to sandwiches, I've really spent a lot of time, a lot of years researching this. I know the breads to match with the meats, to match with the cheeses, to match with everything. I have my own recipes and my own techniques, and I can make the fuck out of a sandwich. When I was in Sydney, for the Sydney Writers Festival earlier this year, I was walking around and there was a stall there, one of those truck cars, and one of the food trucks was there, and they were selling Reubens, and I haven't had a Reuben since college in America, and when I went to New York and I had a Reuben at a deli, and it was a mind-blowing experience, and I was like, oh my god, I haven't had a Reuben in ages. And I bought the Reuben, and I opened the box, and this little measly wafer thin piece of shit Reuben came out, and it tasted nothing. It tasted like the echo of a memory of a shadow of a Reuben, and all it did was anger me. And then I went home, and I got to work, and I spent, I think, several days perfecting the Reuben, and now I can make a Reuben that would make you weep in joy. Loaded with just corned beef and pastrami. It's just the best thing on earth. And so that's the kind of stuff I do with sandwiches. And so every day I have, I'll make food. I'll make proper food. And so I'll give you an example. Just today, this is today's menu, was for breakfast, I bought a bunch of chorizo a few days ago. So I was like, and goat's cheese. So I was like, oh, I'll make an omelette. So I made myself a chorizo and goat's cheese omelette, right? It was really nice. It was huge. It was filling. It was delicious. But that was so big, I didn't need to eat lunch, which was great. Saved me a lot of time and effort, and maybe if I skip one meal, that might help my stomach not expand out again. And then, for dinner, because I'm heading out for the show, but Ania's still at home, I then mixed the chorizo with shrimp and linguine, and I made a nice little, a linguine chorizo shrimp thingy out of that, which is very nice. It's quite delicious as well. Quite happy with that. I hate the word delicious. I don't like the word tasty either, so I don't know what to put there. Hit me up with some adverbs, people. Not adverbs. Adjectives. Not adjectives. Pronouns. Who knows? Hit me up with the thingies. And so that's done. I've made that now. So when I get home, well, I'm going for the show right now. After the show, we're all going to go eat. We're probably going to go eat Mexican because we haven't eaten Mexican in a while, although I'm craving Uncle Billy's Chinese food, which is a Chinese place in Perth, which is fantastic. So I might go there. It's open till 3 in the morning, one of the few places in Australia that is. After we get done with that, I'm going to drive home. And by the time I get back to Northam, I'm going to be hungry again. And will I then eat the chorizo shrimp linguine thingy? No. I'm going to make myself a grilled cheese sandwich at 3 in the morning, or 2 in the morning probably. And that grilled cheese sandwich will have brie, it'll have cheddar, it'll be encased in a crust of parmesan. It'll be a thing of wonder and beauty and joy, and it'll have Dijon mustard on it and butter, and it'll be gooey on the outside and crisp on flaky on the gooey on the inside and crisp and flaky on the outside, and I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna feel nothing but regret and hate for myself as I do that. And that's become my struggle, man. That's become food wasn't a thing for me. It wasn't a struggle. I didn't care about food much. My entire life, I was just like, yeah, I'll eat what I eat. I don't really care. Like, it's food my whole... I used to eat good food because I like the taste of food, and I'd spend a lot of money on good food. But if I didn't eat for long stretches of time, I was fine as well, which is why I was skinny as a rake my entire life. And now, as I, cross into my late 30s, rounding up, nearing on my 40s, and shedding the pounds isn't as easy, and my commitment to exercise is clearly not that effective. I am eating, and I can feel that shelf of fat on my back, on which you can, you can set up a bookshelf and put an encyclopedia or something, just because it's that wide and thick, and it has breath. And that's been my struggle these days, is trying to get past my own lethargy and my own laziness and my own greed. But man, I don't give a shit. I love eating. That's all I want. I want to eat. I just want to eat good food. And that's why I'm working out. I should work out so I can maintain the lifestyle I get to eat good food. I never want to have to stop eating because I put on too much weight. And so I figured the best way to do that is keep working out. I'm never going to have washboard abs. I don't give a shit about washboard abs. No one's fucking using my abs for washboards, to wash boards on anyway. All I want is that I eat food and my pants don't hurt when I put them on. Is that really too much to ask for? Really? Come on, folks. What else has been going on? I saw Sicario last week. That was one thing. I don't get to go to the movies very often because there isn't a cinema in Northern, the closest cinema is an hour away. So I was in Perth, and I had Anya with me and dropped her off to a family friend's house, and his kids and her were playing. And so he was like, yeah, let's go watch a movie. So we went and watched Sicario, which is the lead actress, Emily Rossum, Emily Blunt, Emily Thingy-Majiggy, is her name even Emily, who knows? She was with Tom Cruise in one of the best and most underrated movies of all time, Day After Tomorrow. That was in the Edge of Tomorrow, not Day After Tomorrow. Day After Tomorrow was not underrated by any measure. The Edge of Tomorrow, that great sci-fi flick. She was in that. And so she's in Sicario and Benicio del Toro. And it was good. It's beautifully shot. I know what they were trying to do. And it was darker. I think they made it a little too obviously dark for shock value. And I think they... What in the end was really just a almost a ninja movie, like, you know, like bad guys do bad things and the ninja comes and cuts everyone's head off really coolly in the ending. I think that's what it really was at its heart. Disguise is an artistic movie about the Mexican drug trade. So I thought that was it was okay. I'm keen to see The Martian. That's the one I'm really excited about. The Martian, because The Martian is based on the Andy Weir book, and I love that book, man. I like that book a hell of a lot. I read it last year. It's probably the best book I read last year, just in terms of the most fun. It's not literary. It's not, it carries no weight on its shoulders, but you know what? You blaze through that book. It's the book where you're like, I'm not sleeping. Fuck it. I'm doing this now. Which not many books manage to do anymore. These days I'm reading the new Rome book by Tom Holland, so that should be exciting. I'm enjoying that, but yeah, I'm not reading it as much as I should be. I'm just really lazy these days. I don't know what it is. It's school holidays, Anya's home, so I figure that's my excuse. Not really accomplish anything, which is dumb because I've got a lot of work, I've got a lot of deadlines to meet, and I gotta hustle, man. I gotta hustle if I want to make rent. But yeah, that's what I've been doing, and it's really not... doesn't make for an exciting podcast, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Like, normally these things are really, really good. No, they're not. What the fuck am I saying? I don't know what. I'm just overselling my own shitty podcast. Normally these things are marginally better. But today, because honestly, it's just been a slow week, I don't really have much to talk about. Other than the fact that thank you so much for listening to the BBC thing and for tuning in. And I really appreciate everyone who did. You guys can find me at www.samisha.com. That's S-A-M-I-S-H-A-H. Standard spelling on Samisha as one word. So www.samisha.com, twitter.com/samisha, or @samisha, facebook.com/samisha.fans. And then samisha@gmail.com is where you can email me, or you can just use the contact form on the website. And as always, please go to iTunes, leave a comment, leave a rating. I'd really appreciate that. It helps you the rankings and get noticed and all that stuff. Welcome on board. I hope you do stay on board. Although I completely understand after this episode if you don't. And for those of you who have stuck around this long, I love all of you. My name's Sammy Shah. This has been Sammy Says.